This is America Weekend. I'm Mike Bennett. A regular visitor here is film critic Marshall Fine, who is critic in residence at the Picture Show in Pelham, New York. Were you a little surprised that Birdman took Best Picture?
You know, I had a hunch that it would that either Birdman and Boyhood were going to split things, or one or the other of them would just sweep. And it turned out that Birdman did sweep. So I'm really not surprised. To me, it really is certainly one of the top three films of the year. It was my favorite film of the year. I'll put it that way.
And I just thought it was fascinating. I thought so many aspects of it were groundbreaking, or at least I've never seen before kind of thing.
Oh, yeah. No, it's really a visionary film and very entertaining and, a little unsettling. But a great performance by Michael Keaton. I'm not surprised that Eddie Redmayne won Best Actor, but I think Michael Keaton should have won.
So where do you go from here if you're the director of Birdman?
Well, Birdman was a real change of pace for him because his previous films like 21 Grams and Babel were very darker examinations sort of the human condition and told in very non-linear fashion. Birdman is a movie that you follow the same shot from beginning to end, so it's a very linear film, and his other films were sort of jigsaw puzzle kind of films, so this was a big change of pace. Obviously now he's much more bankable in Hollywood, even though his films tend to be a little more challenging for audiences, so I think that's what the Oscar does for him.
And was there anything that night that surprised you, other than maybe Joan Rivers being left out of the In Memoriam segment?
You mean beyond just how much even more long and tedious these shows can be? No, nothing really surprised me. It's the thing that surprises me is how old-fashioned this show continues to be. And they can't figure out just what sort of the meat and potatoes is, which is not the musical numbers. You don't need to sing every song from beginning to end. And certainly, no production numbers. People love film clips. They love tributes to older movies. But, it goes on and on and on. And every year they swear they're going to make it better. And it's still 3.5 hours long.
Well, yeah, they ran 37 minutes over without even blinking an eye. They never even said, we're running a little late. Sorry. Nothing.
Yeah, exactly. No. So, it's turning into kind of a dinosaur, and I don't know how much longer. But as long as the audience numbers are there, it'll continue to be like that.
Yeah, and the one thing that I found odd was that Meryl Streep did the introduction for the In Memoriam, which is always actually one of my favorite segments. That was fine, but then they showed sketches of people, no motion pictures, and then they sang the song. And I don't get it. Why didn't they just sing the song while the photos were being shown, and hopefully clips of some of the more famous people like Mickey Rooney and Robin Williams?
Obviously not efficiency experts there in the production office.
Well, yeah, and then you wonder why they run 37 minutes over.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, so let's move on. A brand new movie coming out, Will Smith, starring in Focus. Now, I heard the other night on the red carpet he was anything but focused. He was like nonchalant and uncaring. Is that carry over from the movie, or is that just he's having a bad night?
Could have been that. This is not a bad movie. It's a pretty entertaining movie. It's also kind of a familiar movie. It's derivative. It's a con man story about con men in love, and can con men ever really be in love, they're always conning somebody. Who are they conning? In this case, it's Will Smith. He's like the head of a crew of pickpockets and other scam artists who descend on the Super Bowl city, and he meets this young woman who's an up-and-coming pickpocket played by Margot Robbie, who was in the film The Wolf of Wall Street, as Leonardo DiCaprio's blonde wife. She's very good here, and they hit it off. They have this big scam, and then because she thinks they're connecting, and instead he says, nope, see ya, great working with you. And they meet up 3 years later, and he's scamming the owner of a racing car team in Buenos Aires, and she's involved with the guy. So what's going to happen now? If you've seen The Sting, there's a film a couple years ago that Tony Gilroy did called Duplicity with Clive Owen and Julia Roberts that was sort of like this film. These are movies that are built on reversals like The Sting, and we've gotten to the point, I think, where audiences are pretty sophisticated about that sort of thing. So you really sort of see the machinery working here. You probably, if you've seen enough of these movies, you can probably figure out what's going on. Still, Will Smith is better than I've seen him in a long time. This is the most sort of entertaining adult movie that he's made in a while. And I enjoyed it. I wished it were better.
Okay, but you enjoyed it, though. That's good.
I did enjoy it. I did enjoy it.
All right, and you said there's a little independent film that's coming out.
It's set in Ireland in 1971. Jack O'Connell, who played Louis Zamperini in the film of Unbroken, is playing a young British soldier detailed to Northern Ireland in 1971 at the height of the Troubles. His platoon goes out on some sort of action in the neighborhoods behind enemy lines. Something happens, they split, and he's left behind enemy lines, wounded and trying to find his way back out of hostile territory. One of the tensest movies I've seen in a really long time. Jack O'Connell's very good. It's a small independent film. It's called 71. It may be tough to find, but look for it because it's worth seeing.
Thank you, sir. We'll talk to you next week.
Okay, Mike. Take it easy.
And with our film critic, Marshall Fine, I'm Mike Bennett. You're listening to America Weekend.
America Weekend.
Order in the court.
This is attorney Jay Coleman with The Final Verdict. One windy day when Bob was driving to work, a newspaper from the street blew across his car windshield, completely obscuring his vision. Unfortunately, he hit and injured a pedestrian. Obviously, the pedestrian sued Bob for his injuries, but Bob claims it wasn't his fault. He had no control over a flying sheet of newspaper. In court, who do you think won this case? The final verdict after this.
Do you have troubled skin or acne? With Proactive Plus, your acne can heal and you can help prevent new breakouts from happening. Call Proactive Plus now and receive a 60-day risk-free trial along with two free extras and free shipping. Call 800-393-6139. That's 1-800-393-6139.
Even though the injured pedestrian had extensive medical bills, the court ruled this type of accident was unavoidable and Bob was not at fault. And that's the final verdict.
Welcome to American Biker Minute. The auctioneer got four times what this collectible bike is worth. How can a 59 Harley bring $385,000? Today on American Biker Minute.
Do you have troubled skin or acne? With Proactive Plus, your acne can heal and you can help prevent new breakouts from happening. Call Proactive Plus now and receive a 60-day risk-free trial along with two free extras and free shipping. Call 800-393-6139. That's 1-800-393-6139.
Jeff Ryan for American Biker Minute. This 1959 Harley-Davidson Dual Glide is so clean, you could eat off it. Rock and Roll Hall of Famer Jerry Lee Lewis was given the bike by Harley-Davidson. Elvis got one, too. $385,000 is a lot of money for this Dual Glide. Far short of the second most expensive, a 1910 Winchester, which went for $580,000. The red, white, and blue Easy Rider chopper remains numero uno. $1.35 million for a bike that may not be the original.
American Biker Minute, your passport to the open road on two wheels.